So the song that they just sang, Never Alone, none of us want to feel alone. But there are things we need to think about as we find ourselves drawn into relationships. We are drawn into environments that fill our deepest need to be accepted. That's really an important thing that we have to think about as we look at the message this morning. We are drawn into environments that accept us and fill our deepest need to be accepted. So what does that environment look like for you? Who is in your perimeter? Who are your people? We're going to look at that this morning. We're going to talk about that in relationship to boundaries. Boundaries and guardrails. You'll see a guardrail up here behind me on the stage. Guardrails are placed in our lives. We need them in our lives. Even though we live in a culture and a society that does not encourage guardrails, we need those so we don't veer off the road into the danger zone. I don't know if you have one of those newer cars. I was riding with someone that I probably did not think was a very good driver at the time, and they were like, oh, you don't have to worry about my driving anymore because the steering wheel automatically corrects it. And that actually made me feel really a lot better because I really did actually hate to ride with this person because they were just careless. They'd be on their phone and they'd be looking around. They'd be looking at me, talking to me. I'm like, the road. And so we would tend to veer off the road, and it's nobody in this room, so don't look around. But we'd be on the road and I'd just be so anxious. I'm like, what in the world? But sure enough, like this new car, it has this amazing technology that when this person did indeed start to veer off the road, the car corrected and put them right back in the middle of the lane. We in our lives need some of those automatic corrections. Those are our guardrails. Those are our boundaries. And it's really important to note, especially as we talk about relationships today, that when guardrails are in our lives, they are placed not in the danger zone, okay? They're not already off the road because that does not help us at all. Guardrails are placed in the safe zone. So if we bump up against them, they'll put us back without us veering into dangerous paths. Now, I want you to think about this. The people that we have met in our lives are sometimes the cause of our deepest regrets. The people we've met in our lives are sometimes the cause of our deepest regret. Rarely when we veer into dangerous paths and places in our lives that we don't need to be, do we go there alone. And so this morning, I want us to explore, who are the people we have in our lives? Do we have good guardrails and boundaries in place so that if we start veering off into the dangerous territory, we'll recognize that that's what's happening and we'll get back in the safe zone? People influence us, whether we know it or not. And we need to exercise great wisdom and maturity in looking at those relationships. But now, this can come across actually pretty judgmental. And so I want us to think about, as we start looking at the people, the difference between being judgmental and exercising good judgment. So I want you to take a look on the screen. Being judgmental, that's when I am forming an opinion about you, and I'm acting as a judge about you. Good judgment is exercising wisdom in regard to what is the best choice for myself. So it's one thing to look at somebody else and just, you know, make some blanket assumptions and judgments about who they are and their personality, and, you know, think that we don't like them because of trait A, B, and C, and judge them to be a bad person. That is judgmental, and that's not what I'm asking us to do today. What I'm asking us to do today is to look at our lives with good judgment. Recognize because the people that we are around do influence us because we have that deep need to be accepted and not be alone. The people around us influence us, but we need to exercise good judgment. So we need to know what we're looking for. By the time you leave today, I hope that you've identified some traits in the people that you call friends that you want your friends to have so that when you go through life and you recognize, this is somebody positive that has a positive influence on my life. That's exercising good judgment. I want you to take a look at this quote by a neuroscientist, Noro Surf. He did this study and he found out this amazing thing about our behavior, that it's not always just tied to our actions, it's tied to our brain waves. The more we study engagement, we see time and time again that just being next to certain people actually aligns your brain with them. This means the people you hang out with actually have an impact on your engagement with reality beyond what you can explain. And one of the effects is that you become alike. So Noro Surf, he did all this study and this research. He has TED Talks and articles that have been published out there. And what they found was that two people that would merely just be sitting beside you. So look around and see who you're sitting beside this morning, because they are rubbing off on you right now, whether you know it or not. And if you need to move, you have opportunity to do that right now. It's dark and most people won't know. But seriously, the people that we're around, they influence us. So what they found in all these studies was that the brain waves of the two people, when they were just sitting together, not engaging in an activity or behavior together, just by proximity's sake, the brain waves of the two people began to match. And in study after study after study, they found that to be true. Have you ever experienced that in your life, that somebody that you hang out with, you notice they've started to rub off on you? I joked with some of my friends. I'm like, look, next week we're going to talk about this in worship and you're in trouble because apparently I am rubbing off on you. And one of my friends wrote back and said, you know what? Actually, you have begun to rub off on me and you have made me carry myself in meetings very differently. And I'm like, oh, wow, now this ought to be good because I'm the most sporadic, like not logical person in a meeting. And they said, you have pushed me to ask the question why. Now, I do ask why all the time. Sometimes it's actually very annoying, but my friend saw it as a positive. Because my behavior traits of being curious and asking a million questions actually rubbed off on them. It's really important that we spend some time looking at who is in our lives. Because, like I said before, sometimes the people that we've met are the cause of our biggest regrets. Think back to middle school or high school, maybe college. I had an opportunity to counsel someone a couple of months ago, and they were not affiliated with West, and they were sharing with me what pushed them into some depression. It actually started when they were in elementary school, and then it carried on through their middle school and their high school career. They moved into a new area, and just as we all do, we look for that friend group, right, when we're growing up. And she found this friend group, and they were the popular girls, and she really, really wanted to fit in with them. And so she began morphing her personality so that she would fit in. She started dressing like them. She started acting like them. She started going to parties that they would go to, even though she found that she was having to fudge her telling her parents the truth about what she was doing because her parents wouldn't approve. But she still did it anyway. She said that she knew in her gut that it probably wasn't the best decision that she was making, but she really, really wanted to fit in. She said the thing that disappointed her the most about herself during this whole season in her life is that her friends were very judgmental. and very gossipy. And if you weren't in their core group, then you really weren't in. And they would make fun of people, they would bully people, and it just wasn't pretty. But she said she really wanted to fit in with them, even though she knew that she was not making the best decision. So she just kept doing it for years and years. And like 4 or 5 years go by, they make it into high school. And then all of a sudden, one day, she goes into school just like normal. And she goes to her locker, and she shared a locker with her other friends, and she couldn't get in her locker. She's like, oh, you know, what's up with this? And so she goes to find her friends, and long before cell phones and texting, and she's like, what's the deal? And they just turned around and walked away. She went to class. She was upset and disturbed. She thought, okay, something's up, you know. So she goes and finds another one of the core friend group after class. She's like, what's up, you know? And that person literally, she said, literally turned their back and walked away. By this time, she was getting upset. At lunch, she went and she sat down at the table where they always sat. And as soon as she sat down, guess what happened? They got up and left. The rest of the day went like that. After school, they disappeared. Over the next week, they would have nothing, nothing to do with her. She was devastated. She told me, she said, it was as if I didn't exist anymore and I had just disappeared. They never became friends again. She said that caused her to really go into a dark place. She didn't know what she'd done to make them turn their backs on her. To this day, she doesn't know. She said, but maybe I shouldn't have chosen that friend group to start with. Why should I have thought that they were going to treat me any differently than they treated everyone else? Who we have in our lives matters. We start to think like them, we start to act like them, we start to believe in the things that they believe, and we value the things that they value. And guess what? People that don't care really about their own well-being or about building themselves up as people of, you know, kindness and compassion and love and acceptance and grace, if they don't care about that for themselves, they certainly aren't going to care about that for you. If you have friends that lie, they're going to feel better when you start lying. If you have friends that cheat, they're going to feel better when you cheat too. So don't think that you can surround yourself with people that you want to change for the better, that you don't like their personality traits, but you think, you know what, okay, I can be strong and I can rub off on them. It does not work that way. Science proves it. And so does Scripture. I want you to take a look this morning at this verse by King Solomon. He wrote many wise sayings. These sayings are over 3,000 years old, and he is known to be one of the most wise kings that ever lived. He said, walk with wise people and become wise. Befriend fools and get in trouble. Walk with wise people and become wise. Befriend fools and get in trouble. So what does it mean to be foolish? It means to live carelessly and not care about the outcome. What does wisdom look like? Well, that's something that actually exists in a gray area. It isn't always black and white, and it has to morph into whatever situation and circumstance that we find ourselves in. So that's why it's really important that we surround ourselves with people that exercise great wisdom, people that are patient, people that think through things, people that aren't careless. Because guess what? When we surround ourselves with wise people, we too will become wise. The foolish people just get us into trouble. Jesus also thought this. he was teaching, and the folks had just been around John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was the prophet that came before Jesus, and he was preparing the way. And so Jesus had been teaching, and the people were just arguing with him like they typically did, the religious leaders, and they were telling him that John the Baptist wasn't really a prophet, and he really didn't make a difference. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm the Son of Man, I'm here, I'm showing you these things, and you won't even listen to me. And then they just kept arguing, and he says this one little sentence, and it's probably one of the most overlooked statements that Jesus says in the New Testament. It's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, and he says, wisdom will be determined by her children. So think about that for just a second. Wisdom will be determined by her children. What does that mean? Well, it means that time will tell. Because the children that live out and act into life and the journey, they will prove whether wisdom is true or not. Wisdom will be determined by her children. And time will tell. That's why we need guardrails in our lives. It's why we need barriers. It's why we need boundaries so that we know, okay, here is where I am not willing to compromise anymore. Think back to when you were growing up. I bet your parents cared who you were friends with. I bet they wanted a say and some influence in who you chose to hang around with, because our parents had wisdom and they could see things that maybe we just couldn't and can't see. That's why our relationships, that's why our guardrails and our boundaries are so important. Because, you know, you can't know right now exactly how things are going to pan out. Time tells. But there are things that we can think about and we can know. And we have to ask ourselves, do the people in our midst exhibit the traits that we want to exhibit? If you wonder, go out to eat with someone. Watch how they treat the server, especially if their order's wrong. If they're angry and they're belligerent and they start saying things and criticizing, probably that could be a guardrail, that could be a boundary, because if they treat someone like that in that setting, they'll treat other people like that too. When we were interviewing at Williamson's Chapel for staff, everybody always had to pass the lunch test. They had to go to lunch with all the staff. And it was a job interview because we would watch and see how they interacted, not just with us, because you always put your best foot forward, right, when you're on an interview. We would watch how they would interact with all the other people. Are they kind? I mean, there are nice ways to say hard things, right? Or are they just ugly and harsh? We need to surround ourselves with the people that have the traits that we want to exhibit. Jesus told the people that they needed to surround themselves with love. So what does that look like for us today? What does it look like to have a friend group that they live in love and not judgment and not hate? There was a sermon preached by Adam Hamilton years and years and years ago, and he had this phrase in the message, and I have adopted it. It is his phrase, but I just think it is so beautiful. He called people in our lives stretcher bearers. And he would often ask the people in the faith community, who are your stretcher bearers? You know, like the people in the back of an ambulance, you know, they would go and they'll carry the stretcher. So when Jesus was teaching one day, there was a man and he could not walk. And the people knew that Jesus had this amazing healing power. And so what they would do is they would go and they got their friend and they were going to take him to Jesus, because they knew if they could just get him to Jesus that he would be healed, because all these miracles were happening and people were given new leases on life. So they go to this house. Jesus is in there. They've got their friend. They get there and there's no way they can get in. The house is absolutely packed. But they were this guy's people. They were his literal stretcher bearers. So what did they do? They climbed up on top of the house. They removed the roof and they lowered him in. Those are the people that we want in our lives. Those are the people that we need to surround ourselves with. Those are the kind of people that our guardrails and our boundaries keep into our midst. The people who are going to be a stretcher bearer for you, who are those people? And do you have them in your life today? One of the things that always causes my heart to hurt as a pastor is when the phone rings late at night, because I know those phone calls are never good ones. It happened late at night. The person on the other end of the phone said, "Andrea, so-and-so just suffered a massive heart attack. They are at CMC. They are in critical care, and they're not expected to live. Can you come be with the family?" Well, of course, yes. And I knew this family. I'd known them for a while, so I knew that they did not have a big family support system. Some people really have a lot of family around. This couple, they did not. They really didn't have anyone. So I imagined that when I got to the hospital that night late, that I would be the only person there with them. I walk into the ICU waiting room and I was shocked because there were 10 to 12 people sitting in the chairs in that room. Not one of them was kin to the couple. They were their friends. They didn't even really need me there because they were surrounded with such love and support. And you know what happened? The gentleman ended up passing away early the next morning, but his wife was never alone. From the time that she got to the hospital that night, all throughout the night, all throughout the days of the next week, someone was always at her house so that she did not have to be alone. They had surrounded themselves with stretcher bearers. I don't know about you, but I have had the privilege in my life of having stretcher bearers. It is one of the most amazing things. It breathes life into us when we face our darkest moments. What are the traits you want the people in your life to embody? Love and grace and forgiveness. Find those people and let them be your stretcher bearers. You will not regret it. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you give us opportunities to find friends at various stages and stations in our lives. And these friends breathe life into us, God. We are so grateful for that. Help us do the deep searching in our soul to make sure that the people that are in our midst are indeed our stretcher bearers. And they're the people that are going to show up when we need them the most. And they're just going to have this ministry of presence. They'll be there with us through our darkest days. God, help us to put guardrails and boundaries in place to keep those out of our lives that drag us down. Because, God, we do all have this need to be accepted and to be loved. Let us fill that need with the right people and the right stations and places in life. Because you have called us to live this amazing life. And you have called us to embrace who we are and the path that we are on. We ask these things in Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Our friends determine the direction and the quality of our lives. Our friends determine the direction and the quality of our lives. So who are your friends today? Who are your stretcher bearers? Go find great ones. Amen.